house for sale. I'm moving out, I'm moving on. This bird has flown. House for sale. I'll tell you where to redirect my mail.
And every Tuesday morning at 9:30, we redirect our mail to Cleve Gaddis, the king of Atlanta real estate. Welcome back from Vegas, my friend.
Hey, thank you. Good morning on this beautiful, beautiful sunny day in Atlanta.
You're not supposed to take drugs before you come on.
No, I'm not.
On
I'm
the
not.
Air.
Sometimes you have to. So I love to get up early in the morning, Larry,
and smoke it. What? And smoke
no,
a doobie?
No, and get in my hot tub. No. That I have not done any type okay, of drugs
right.
in a long time, Mr. Larry. Long time.
Because I'm looking out the window and I don't see any of what you just described. So
I'm trying to make sure I have a positive attitude. Okay. I don't love rainy days, so I'm telling myself it's a sunny day and everything's great. But anyway, I was in my hot tub this morning, and it's not totally covered, and I almost drowned in my hot tub from the rain.
That's a great picture of a guy sitting in a hot tub with the rain. And then you should be holding an umbrella, and we could put that on Facebook, and I think it would go viral.
I should, but I was actually trying to drink my coffee, so I like to get in the hot tub with a little coffee, and my coffee is filling up with the rainwater.
I guess rainy days like this are not a great day. Real estate people probably in general, this is like the antithesis of the weather that they there's not much you can do on a day like this. I guess you look at the interior of the home and whatnot, but people don't like to venture out and look at real estate on days like this. I'm guessing.
You're exactly right, and sometimes they have to, but it certainly doesn't make their attitude any better.
Nor the people that are showing the house either. By the way, let's get to what we're up to today. You want to look at the numbers today?
Well, yes. What I thought was interesting would be to help the listeners take a stroll down memory lane.
Okay.
And look at where we were when sort of the market was at its worst, which in most counties in Atlanta was 2011. That was when the market was at its bottom. Started getting bad in 08, worse in 9, worse in 10. The bottom was 11, better in 12, and then it started to recover in 13.
Okay.
And it's really amazing what has happened in a lot of these areas. So for those numbers nerds who are listening, they're going to love all of this information, and I'm going to also try to put it in a format where everybody will get it as well, because to me this stuff is fascinating. So let's just look at the city of Atlanta, and we actually take Fulton County and we divide it into three different groups, because North Fulton and South Fulton are separated by the city of Atlanta, so it makes sense to do that way. So let's just start out with homes that were sold in the city limits of Atlanta. So now in 2011, the percentage of distressed properties, now Larry, what that means, foreclosures, short sales, anything where the seller was in a level of distress and was basically forced to sell the property.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2011, one in five properties that sold was a distressed property.
Wow.
In five properties
20%.
That sold. Uh-huh. Well, actually 21%. I just rounded to one in five.
Yeah.
The average sales price in the city of Atlanta in 2011 was $436,000. The average sales price of a home in the city limits of Atlanta today is $617,695, up 81%. Now, and the percentage of foreclosures and short sales today as of 2017, now remember, Larry, it was 1 in 5, 21% in 2011. Would you like to take a guess what it was in 2017? I know it's not fair to ask you to guess.
No, I'll take a guess. I like doing stuff like this. 1 in 10.
1.4%. So that would be, let's see here, what would that be? That'd be 1
well,
in 75?
100, that would be like close.
1 in 70, 1 in 75.
Close to that, yeah, right? Rather than 1 in 10, yeah.
Exactly,
you know, I should
right.
have thought about it a little more. I was thinking that it was infinitesimal. I mean, that it was very small.
That's right, 1.4%. So let's look at Cobb County. I know somebody who lives in Cobb County.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, and in 2011, 30.7% of the closings in Cobb County were distressed sales. Almost 1 in 3. Today, Larry, 1.3%. So about a 1 in 100 instead of 1 in 3. Isn't it amazing? In 2011, the average sales price of a home in Cobb County, $192,000, Larry. Today, $303,000, up 61%. It's amazing what's happened in the market. Let's take a look at DeKalb County, right there, not too far from where the station is. In 2011, 29% of the closings were short sales, foreclosure, some type of distress sale. That number last year in 2017 is a very small 3.7%. So those who say, I want to buy a foreclosure or a short sale in DeKalb County or any of the other areas we've mentioned and are frustrated because you can't find them, well, it's because, you know, in most cases it's like 1 in 75 homes that sells is a short sale or foreclosure. Average sales price in DeKalb County in 2011, $167,000. Now, that's a single-family detached home, not a condo or a townhome. Average sales price in 2017, $287,000. That's a 72% increase in 6 years.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is. Well, it's nice. You know, that's a quite a period of time, too, where, you know, people, and we're talking about 2011 versus 2018, where that's 7 years it's had to rebound to this point. So, you know, I'm surprised it was so bad. Actually, my surprise is it was so bad.
Yeah, how bad it was. Yeah. That makes sense.
Not really, though, that it's better because, you know, we know that for the past year or year and a half or 2 years, it's turned around almost entirely to where it's a seller's market out there, you know.
Back up above where it was in 2007. Let's take a look at the neighbors to the north, Forsyth County. In 2011, distressed and foreclosure sales 1 in 4%, basically. I mean, 1 in 4 to almost 25%. Today, 0.7%. Average sales price from 2011 to 2017 in Forsyth County has increased 42%. The numbers in North Fulton, while not quite the appreciation that you've seen in other areas, I think because values were more stable, the distressed properties were 16% of the market in 2011. They're 0.03% of the market today. Average sales prices in the all-time low in North Fulton hit in 2012 instead of 2011, but sales prices are up 26% from their bottom. Now listen to this. Talk about a place to have invested money in 2011. South Fulton County, 42% of all closings in 2011 were short sales and foreclosures. 42%, almost 1 in 2. Today, that number is only 4.5%. Average sales prices from 2011 to 2017 have increased 121%. So, Larry, if you and I had gone to South Fulton and invested a lot of money in 2011, we could have both retired by now.
Yeah, but
think about that.
No, I don't want to think. I don't want to think about retiring yet. But I would like to have the money to take long vacations. So,
well, let's figure that out. Let's do one more little county, and this is I think the second most populated county in Metro Atlanta behind Fulton, which is Gwinnett County. And in 2011, 36% of all sales were foreclosures and short sales. Today it's 0.18%, so only 227 of 12,000 closings for the year were short sales and foreclosures. Average sales price in Gwinnett County has increased 81% since 2011. So there have been some great, great, great things happen. And I know that there are a bunch of buyers out there looking to buy houses today, and they're frustrated, Larry, because they're not able to find what they want. They're not able to find their perfect home available in the price range in the area. And I guess my message to them is that sometimes you need to compromise because this market, especially at the lower end, is going up so fast, certainly slower than a lot of areas of the country, but very fast compared to a typical 3% appreciation rate over time, which is about what it is historically. And sometimes you just need to expand your geographic area, expand your price range, expand your schools that you're willing to consider. Sometimes you just need to expand what you're considering so you can find what what you're looking for, because as interest rates go up and prices continue to rise, it becomes more and more difficult for people to be able to afford homes. Metro Atlanta is very affordable compared to most major areas in the United States of America, but there's no doubt that prices on average are up a good 69-70% in Metro Atlanta since 2011. In fact, I think I have the number right here. For the detached units, the prices of overall, the prices of real estate in Metro Atlanta up 64, almost 65% since 2011, and 9.3% up from the all-time high, which was set previously in 2007.
Can I ask you a question that's sort of off the
grid
here?
Please do.
It may not even apply to what we're talking about right now. But one of the things that was occurring before the huge drop there were a number of factors that went into it. But we all remember the fact that get rich quick, flip these houses. I've flipped all these houses. You don't need any money. To
use other people's money.
You don't need any money. I can show you how to make millions like I did, flipping houses. Now, you still have these people out there conducting these seminars. And I always ask, well, if you're making this much money flipping houses, what the hell are you doing trying to get these other people to flip the houses? You know, I mean, that's the question.
That was my thought. If your secrets are so good, why would you share them with me?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the secret for only how much money. Why not just go out and flip another house and make them, that money? So that always occurs to me. But that was huge prior to this whole drop. I mean, people were buying, three, four houses and, trying to flip them over. And you don't hear as much about it now. Are people still doing that? Or has the market just become so different that's really not happening all that much? But like you say, if we'd have gone together and bought houses, if we had had the money and bought these distressed houses back in the day, we'd be reaping the rewards now. So I'm sure some people did do that, right?
Yes, and so there are people who still do that today. It's not nearly so. Let me describe the difference in house flipping before the recession and after.
Okay.
So before, somebody would buy the home, put a little lipstick on it. It was a very unqualified buyer or investor, had very little money, trying to do it with other people's money, trying to do as little as possible to get the home flipped. And so the problem was they weren't really adding any value. So if you bought a home for $120,000 and you sold it for $220,000 after you painted it and invested $5,000, something's wrong with that scenario. That's not the way it's supposed to work. So when you had investors were doing very little to fix the properties up, and then lending standards were so lax, they could inflate appraisals much easier, things like that. So today, there's plenty of rehabbing that goes on in the city of Atlanta, but typically it's done by people who are professionals, people who know how to rehab, and who, for example, buy a home for $200,000, invest $50,000 in it to make significant changes, and in my words, I call it, they are repositioning the property. They're taking the property that has no value in its current shape, they're repositioning it in the market by fixing it up, and they're adding real value. So there's plenty of people who do that, but you certainly don't hear as much about the get-rich-quick schemes as you used to, because they are much less common than they were.
But you do hear them from time to time, and the question always comes up, well, if your secrets, like you said, are so great, why are you sharing them with all these other people? And the answer has to be, they can make more money doing
that. Well, my question was always, and why do these get-rich-quick programs either come on in the middle of the day when everybody is supposed to be working, or late at night when everybody's supposed to be sleeping? Because in my opinion, they're trying to appeal to a certain type of person, maybe someone who is sort of depressed with their current life and willing to shell out bucks for the dream of having something. And by the way, my wife and I and my father-in-law and I have actually purchased and flipped a lot of houses over the years, but we were always very serious about providing the end user, the buyer, with a great living experience in that new home. Almost looked at ourselves like custom home builders.
Have you ever gone to any of the seminars by, these, and I'll say these people, who are basically in the business of drawing in, investors to pay them to, have you ever gone to one just out of curiosity to see what it is these people pitch?
Yes. So I actually went through John Adams' seminars here in Atlanta, but it's not, you know, pay me $10,000 and I'll show you the way. It's pay me $200 and I'll give you a weekend's worth of education and training, which in my opinion was very valuable.
Uh-huh.
But yes, I can't even remember some of the names, John LeGrand, people like that, who were really, really big in this.
Right.
I have, unfortunately, I'm a true salesman, so if somebody's selling it, Larry, the odds are I probably have bought it at some point.
Well, you remember that.
Some of it is useful. It's just you have to take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Meaning, so I used to tell investors when they were buying properties to rent out, Larry, that your tenant should never be more financially qualified than the landlord. So if you're not, if you don't have the money to buy this place, please don't, because as soon as you have no cash reserve, that's when your tenant's not going to pay any rent. The people who buy it who have plenty of money, the tenants always pay the rent. And it sounds like it's kind of Murphy's Law, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you a personal story, and that will be all the time. My house was actually on the market for about a year and a half, and it did not sell. So they went back in, and they totally rehabbed the entire house. This is how lucky I was in this situation. Put in all wood floors, basically redid the house. It was all brick, and I happened to see the house on the first day it opened after it had been totally redone.
Wow.
It was very lucky. And
you were very lucky.
And the price was, you know, was still within the range of the first selling price of the house when it didn't sell. That was still pretty much at that same price. So I got a very, very lucky situation. And now the house, even after a year and a half, has been appraised for $35,000 more than what I actually bought the house for.
Wow.
And
nice.
Because of that, because its interior was almost all new. And that's why I was kind of asking about this rehabbing, because they could not sell the house for the price during this whole downturn.
Right.
This house was on the market off and on, during this whole worst time. So I just happened to benefit from the fact that we were just coming out of it there in, 2015, I would have bought the house. That's a personal story.
Yep, you were a little... probably a couple of years into the recovery, but solidly into it enough to know that the market was going to be headed in the right direction.
And they were very desperate to sell the house after that period of time.
They wanted you to have their problem.
Well, no. It was more like we're going to have to put this money into it to get even this amount of money out of it.
In other words, they wanted you to have their problem. And so what happens is when you get a seller who's motivated and wants someone else to own it, I'm not saying in a bad way because it's not a problem. You love your house and it's turned out to be a great place to live. But ultimately, the ideal situation is when you find a home where the seller wants you to own it worse than they want to own it.
Because
then you can negotiate a good deal or they'll put money in for repairs.
Because they had already gone to another house. So they were in a situation they had another house they were paying a mortgage on, whatever, and this house did not sell. So there you go. Anyway.
Blowing up their budget.
That's all the time we have for today, but that's very interesting. And that's good news. It's nice to know that sounds like we have fully recovered from the downturn, as you say, and now we're on the other side with other issues coming up.
Moving in the right direction. Hey, can I remind everybody that I host the Call Cleve Atlanta Real Estate Show on your sister station, News Talk 1160. I'll be on today at 2. I'll also be on Sunday at noon. I invite anybody to listen in. It's a one-hour show all about real estate where we talk about this kind of stuff and lots more. I'm also with Gaddis Partners Remax Center, even though I am on the radio as well. And my family's been in real estate for 30 years in Metro Atlanta. We live, eat, breathe, and sleep real estate, and we'd love nothing more than to help any of your listeners, Larry. They can reach us by calling 770-497-0000. And we don't really care if it's a big question or a small question or a question that people think is a dumb question. We'll take good care of them. We love nothing more than to help everybody.
And, folks, I should have said, just to be clear, instead of rehab, I should have said renovation is what really occurred with my home. It wasn't in a situation where it was, dilapidated or had been let go. It just was old-fashioned, you know, in the sense that it wasn't, it didn't have all wood floors, you know, it didn't have new appliances, you know, it didn't have the things that that buyers wanted at the time. But renovation was the word I was looking for, not rehab. I don't want to cast dispersions, you know, on the folks that owned the house before, if you know what I mean.
No, those two terms can be used kind of interchangeably, so you're in good shape.
Okay. We'll go out with Billy Joel and Moving Out. We'll talk with Cleve next week.
Out in Hackensack.